Well, I am super glad that you're here today, and it is a great Sunday for us as we get close to Christmas. I hope as your family is coming or you are going, that has been a joyful thing for you, and you're looking forward to the week ahead. We're in the fourth week of our series, Carols. We're looking at the song, O Come, Emmanuel, today. This song was originally written. I tried to give you a little of the history of the songs as we've talked about them. This one was written in the 8th or 9th century in a monastery, and then it sort of laid dormant for almost 1,000 years. It kind of was sung around the time it was written as a part of 7 different songs that were sung leading up to Christmas, and they kind of fell out of use, and a guy in the 1800s found them in this old sort of manuscript, revived them, put them to music, translated them, and that was how we ended up getting O Come, Emmanuel. When he first translated it, he translated it as come near, Emmanuel, which I thought that would be a lot more fun for us to sing. It'd be harder. I feel like I'd have a hard time singing that. But that was originally, he changed it within the year, if I remember reading correctly, and it's been O Come, Emmanuel ever since. So when we sing that song, when you listen to that song at Christmas, you're joining with over 1,100 years of Christians and tradition. Pretty neat stuff when you think about singing songs like that. I want to focus attention this morning, as we've picked out things from each song and we've talked about them as they relate to Christmas. Today we're going to talk about the name Emmanuel, the name highlighted over and over in this song, which each line, it seems to me, is leaning forward to exclaim, is sort of yearning for this one that will come, Emmanuel. All through Israel's history and in the period of time leading up to the coming of Emmanuel, there is such sort of straining hopefulness that God will come. And this name Emmanuel is something very significant as they look forward to that coming. It just means simply, and many know this, God with us. It's all Emmanuel means. It's 2 words, pretty straightforward. With us is God. Emmanuel, God with us. Have you ever asked that question maybe? God, would you just be with me in something? Have you ever said that? Maybe before you even came to know God, you said that prayer. I know many people who say that prayer when they encounter certain different times. Maybe for you it was driving in the car and your parents said, God help me or I will kill you, right? Like there was this prayer, God be with me or something really bad is going to happen, right? For me, as I've mentioned the last couple weeks, I say this prayer at this time of the year when I go anywhere in public, right? If I go to the mall or if I go to Walmart or if I have to buy groceries, I pray that exact same prayer. God be with me or something terrible might happen to the person in front of me. This guy at Macy's that is returning 8 items and he started a Macy's card, but now he wants to cancel it and he wants to buy 7 more items and he wants to pay with a check and I'm behind him, right? And I'm saying, God, I need some patience right now. Maybe it was something more serious for you. Those are kind of silly ways we say it, but maybe it was something serious. Maybe you went through a crisis or a time in life that you just said, God, I need you. I don't even know if you're there, but I need you. God with us. I feel like we've all prayed for that. We've all wanted that at some point in our life. Whether we really believed or not that he would show up. In the birth of Christ, God with us is a name given to him. It comes from Matthew 1. We're going to be in Matthew and Luke today back and forth. So if you want to put your thumb in those books, you can. The words will also be on the screen for you. Matthew 1 verses 22 and 23 that Mike read for us earlier. They just say simply, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which he conveniently translates for us in the text, which means God with us. Matthew takes us back to a prophecy. This one spoken some 700 years by the prophet Isaiah before Christ's coming. I don't know if you feel this way at Christmas, but when it comes to the birth of Christ and the prophecies that are fulfilled in his birth from the Old Testament, I'm sort of in awe of all that. I'm sort of in awe of the sovereignty of God and how he works in that process. I read also this week as I was studying for this sermon that there was a statistician, a math nerd, who took upon himself to calculate the odds that a child of any variety would actually fulfill all of these prophecies, that it would actually come to be. And so he started with just 8 of them. He said, these are probably the most 8 familiar prophecies for the coming of Christ in the Old Testament, one of them being this text that we just read that Isaiah says. And he says, if one person were to just fulfill these 8 things, and we were conservatively estimating, the odds would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power, that's like 17 zeros, right, that somebody would actually fulfill these, just 8 of them. He said, maybe that's too big of a number, which it probably is for us. So he says, pretend you covered the entire state of Texas with silver dollars, but you did it 2 feet deep. And on one of those silver dollars, you marked a little X. Then you mixed them all up, dropped the blind guy somewhere, and said, on the first shot, grab the one with the X. He said, that's about how likely it is that a child's being born would actually fulfill just 8 of these prophecies. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 in the Old Testament. So it's amazing to me how God has provided in his sovereignty and in his will all of this sort of information for us to draw back on from the Old Testament. But this is one of them. Emmanuel is one of those prophecies, that a virgin would give birth to a son and they would call him Emmanuel, God with us. The birth of Christ is kind of like the beginning of the important part. If you've ever seen a movie, I think of Mission Impossible, where you go through a period of the movie and you're leading up to the part where they actually do the thing. So for me, those movies are always like tons of background filler, and then they get to the moment where they actually start the impossible thing, whatever it is. And that takes up like the last third of the movie, right? The birth of Christ, the coming of Emmanuel, is sort of the beginning of the crucial part. It's not the climax of the story, that's still to come, but it is the beginning of the part that makes you come to the front of your seat in expectation. Israel had been waiting for so long for Messiah, for God to speak, and I don't think they probably ever imagined that it would have meant that God himself would come in flesh. Even this prophecy of God with us, I think it would have been easier to think someone will come and they will help us connect with and know God, and so God will be with them and he will be with us. Could they have really thought that God himself would personally take on flesh and be born? I don't know, but that's what Emmanuel means for us. God is with us. We don't live in the time that Jesus physically walked the earth, so we don't have that connection of him with us, but we do have the promise from him that he continues to be with us as Emmanuel. In Matthew, he says in the Great Commission, go therefore, make disciples, we know that part, baptizing them, we know that part, but then he says what? And I will be with you always. Emmanuel not only came as the baby, not only lived the life and sacrificed himself, but also continues to be with us. So here's the 3 points today, and I'll give them to you at the beginning. If Emmanuel is God with us, for us that means, I think, 3 things. God is with you, that's current. God was with you in your past, and God will be with you in the future. First, God is with you. God is with you. Maybe that's a hard thing for you to believe. I think for some people it is. I think for some people it's hard to believe that God could actually be with me. For some people it's just a, why would he want to? Why would he want to be with me? Does he know everything that I've done? I've never felt close to him in my life. Can I really believe that he is with me? Maybe as a Christian, you've not really felt close to him. I don't know if you have the lack of like a tingly feeling and you just don't feel the presence of God, right? And so it's hard to think, is God actually with me today? Or maybe this is a season of difficulty. And so the idea that God is with you, you're like, well, I don't know where. I don't feel him. How is God close to me in all of this? I assure you that in the coming of Emmanuel, whether we know it or not, believe it or not, feel it or not, and maybe even deny it altogether, that God is with us. At the very beginning of the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, we see the young girl being caught up in this super tumultuous series of events. Things are about to get very tough for her. It's going to be a hard season of life. From the outside looking at it, it would be pretty hard to imagine going through. A young woman, pregnant, not married, with child, but it's not the man who she's about to marry. In a society dominated by the male role, she would have felt very unprotected, very precarious. And it probably would have been a time for her to say, I don't know if God is with me right now. I know he came, but this feels very scary. And so the angel that comes to her, you remember what he says right away in Luke 1:28? He just says, greetings, because he's really polite. You who are highly favored. The first thing he says is what? The Lord is with you. It's okay. God is with you. The angel, before he even tells Mary of all that's going to happen, he says, you need to remember, in all of this, God is with you. That's true for you this morning as well. God is with you. Some of you are hurting and in need of comfort. God is with you. Scripture says He is the one who comes alongside of us, the parakletos, who's close to us, who walks with us alongside in times of trouble. It's a beautiful picture, not of some God who is distant and vengeful and demanding and exacting, but of one who is beside us, comforting, strengthening, sustaining, who fights for us, protects us, encourages us, weeps when we weep. God with us each day. It changes our perspective to know that He is with us now, doesn't it? I know a dad that I know of was talking about a trip he took to Chuck E. Cheese. And if you've ever been to Chuck E. Cheese, you know it's an awesome place where you can spend a boatload on pizza and a boatload on tokens, and then you can earn like 50,000 tickets so you can buy a plastic Frisbee, right? Like, have you ever been to Chuck E. Cheese, right? Chuck E. Cheese is crazy. I love it, though. Anyway, best place ever. Smart financial decisions are made every day at Chuck E. Cheese. So the boy, or the guy, he had some boys, right, at the time. He had a couple boys. One of them was like just old enough to be able to understand the concept. Like, there's this mouse, and I talk to him. Is he a mouse? I don't know what he is. I talk to this thing, and I play games, and I get tickets. But he was still just young enough that he was scared of Chucky. Okay, not like Chucky from the movies, but Chucky from Chuck E. Cheese. So he's terrified of this mouse. If you've never seen a picture or encountered Chucky, just picture maybe Mickey Mouse and you're close. So the dad's trying to help the little boy get closer to Chucky. So he grabs him and he says, okay, Chucky's over there. We're going to go over together and I'll go with you and we'll give him a hug. And the little boy says, no way, right? Not going to happen. I'm terrified of that thing. So the dad tells the story that he concocts this plan, which I don't advise, but he tried it. So he goes over to Chuck E. Cheese, who's probably some like high school boy, right, in the costume playing Chucky, and he says, look, my kid is terrified of you, and I need to show him that you're okay, and you're not going to hurt him, so just let me slap you in the face, and don't hit me back, okay? And it'll prove to him that you're not dangerous, right? And so he goes to Chucky, and he says, okay, I'm going to do it now, don't hit me back, I got to show him that you're okay. So he slaps Chucky in the face. And he punches him back immediately, like with his little mouse fist, like right in the face, socks him, right? Hits him. And he's like, no, dude, you don't get it. My kid is scared of you. This is not helping. What I need you to do is not respond. So he's like, we're going to try this again. Hits him, punches him right back again. And at this point, the dad's a little frustrated, so he goes into like fight stance. Like, are you serious? And the mouse is now kind of laughing at him a little bit. So the mouse goes into like fight stance, right? They're like standing there ready to box. And the mouse tries to swing at him again, from what I remember, and he just grabs him, puts him in a headlock. So now he's got like Chucky in a headlock, trying to show his son that it's like, okay, right? You can be close to Chucky and not get hurt. And all the other little kids start crying because this guy's got Chucky in a headlock. And so he has to kind of defuse it. He has to like let him go, back away, and everybody goes back to their corners. But the dad goes back to his kid and he says, look, do you see me take down Chucky? You don't have to be scared of him, right? I'm your dad. I'm with you. I'll protect you from Chucky. It changes things, though, doesn't it? Depending on who's with us. It changes things when we know that God is with us, that He is alongside of us, that He walks through the seasons of life right next to us. When you understand your dad is with you, it changes our perspective. We understand that God, the God of the universe, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the ever-present, loving God is with us. So when we're lost and don't know where to go, He guides us. When we're hurting and feel alone, He's as close as a brother, comforting. When we're in the middle of trying times or feeling weak, He is our strength. When we are sick, He is the one who heals. When we struggle in sin, He is the Savior. When we are at the end of our rope, He sustains us. When we rage within, He is our peace. When God is with us, it changes everything. And Emmanuel means God is with you today. So first, God is with us, but second, God was with us. God was with you. Hindsight, they say, is 20/20, and we've heard the phrase, but how often do we think of it as it regards our spiritual life, as it regards looking back and seeing all that maybe God has done in the past? For a brief example, we could look at the life of Joseph. We know his story for the most part, the youngest of 12 brothers, and all sorts of craziness happening to him. Yeah, he goes to them, he says, look, I'm going to rule over all you. They basically say, you're a punk, we're going to kill you. So they throw him in the pit. They sell him off eventually because they decide that's not a good idea. Sell him off to slavery. He goes to Egypt. He gets eventually thrown into prison under false pretenses. He helps some people. They forget about him, right? Like, his story just keeps going, and it keeps sounding worse and worse. And I think as we read it, we think, where is God in the story? Because everything bad just keeps happening to Joseph. And the writer of the story, I think, notices. And so in Genesis 31, he just says, in all of this, he writes, God was with Joseph. Don't forget, he is there. And I think as Joseph eventually ends up in power and he looks back at his life, having the ability to save an entire nation and his own family, I think if Joseph looked back in his life, he would say, yeah, I can see. I can see the places in my life where God was moving. And I maybe didn't recognize it super well at the time it was happening, but God was with me. God was with me in that moment that I was in the pit and my brothers were about to leave me, and he protected and saved my life. He made me through all these things the kind of man and person I needed to be to rule and to do that fairly and justly. God was with me. I can see his hand all over my life. Where has God been in your life? As you look back, can you see his hand moving and guiding, sustaining in your life? Because it encourages us in the present to trust that he is with us, to look back and see where he has been with us. One of the ways God regularly reminds me of the times in my life that he has been present is through music. I've told you a few times that I was kind of a Christian music nerd who didn't find out about any of the music everybody loves until I graduated from high school. But some of the that was kind of a struggle for me because I didn't know Queen at all, and I didn't know AC/DC, and I didn't know any of these bands, right? I knew Rich Mullins and Audio Adrenaline, which is cool. I like them still. Anyway, one of the great things about all that for me is that I have this very deep repository of spiritual songs. And so at times in my life, when I just need to be reminded that God has been there, that he has sustained me through things, I go to these songs. And there's times I just sit and meditate on the words of them. One of them for me is an old hymn, which I think many in this room will probably know. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. And as I hear words like that, I'm reminded in my life that has been true. God has been faithful. And if I can just still myself enough to see it, I can be reminded. I sit and soak in those words. I don't know what it is for you, but part of knowing Emmanuel is looking back and saying, God has been with me. I would encourage you to spend some time thinking on that. In fact, I'll do a quick plug and say, if you take home church home, one of the things you're going to spend a little bit of time doing in take home church is thinking on that question. Where has God been in my life? And where has he been active? And where can I look back and just call to mind those times that God was with me? God is with you. God was with you, and finally, he will be with you. No matter what lies ahead, God will be with you. Can you imagine if Mary, in this moment, she found out all that was going to happen to her, if she could have just instantaneously seen everything that would happen following that moment, everything that was going to happen to this son she was going to bring into the world, this Messiah, the one to be called Emmanuel. Can you imagine thinking about going to tell Joseph about this child and being worried? Can you imagine riding for so many miles, being pregnant to Bethlehem on the back of an animal, finding no room and having to give birth to your firstborn in a stable, raising this child, the one who's supposed to save his people, and thinking, I hope I can just keep him alive when he's running around as a 6, 7, 8-year-old jumping off things, right? Not knowing where your son at age 12 was when you left him in Jerusalem. Finding him in the temple, being about his father's business. If Mary could see him turn water into wine and all the other miracles she witnessed, if she could have seen him being falsely accused and persecuted, watching him being beaten and suffering, eventually dying, watching the whole process from the crowd as he cries out, Father, forgive them. It is finished. Waiting those painful days until Easter morning. If she could have seen all of those things, that first moment the angel came, how much would she have needed to hear those words from the angel? God is with you, and he will be in all of these things. He will sustain you through them. And I think she would say, that's enough for me. It's enough for me to rest in that fact that God will be with me in all of these things. Not that it will be easy, but that he will be alongside me. Paul says it for us in Romans 8. He says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is with you going forward. He is with you, He has been with you, and He will be with you in the things that lie ahead. Nothing can separate you from Him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know what your week holds or where you're going to be or what you're going to do, but I do pray as you go through this week, there is a deep sense of the abiding presence of God with you, and that you find God with me to be a reality in your life. He is with you. He was with you. He will be with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth of this name. Names speak so much, and we're thankful that this one communicates to us a deep understanding that you abide with us, that you walk alongside us, that you are our comforter, our healer, you are our sustainer. God, we're just thankful for that. We're thankful that in our present life we see you next to us. We're thankful for the times that we struggle to see you, that we can look back and say, yeah, you were. God, you were there in the times I needed you. I see your hand all over my life, working in ways I could never have imagined at the time. And we trust with that knowledge that you are in our future, that you are walking with us into whatever lies ahead. And we trust you for that. We lean into that. Father, thank you for this season to remember the coming of your Son. Let it rest on our hearts and let us just meditate deeply on what it means for us. And we pray it all in your name today. Amen.